In this new year with a new theme, continue, and I will not try to expound on that any more than I will in the message this morning. So if you would, if you'll turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and if you would please stand together out of respect for the Word of God, we'll read this entire chapter together, and then we'll begin in this series. We have been in Acts for some time, and I'm praying the Lord would show me what to do with the remainder of that series. We're in Acts chapter 19, I believe, and we're going to be looking as to where God wants us to put that. We have Proverbs to finish on Wednesday night, just a couple of chapters left there. Say, Pastor, if there's two chapters left, you're still going to be another 9 or 10 months, but I'm praying that the Lord will help us to get through that a little quicker, and tonight we're going to finish our Pilgrim's Progress series through the Exodus, And then we're just going to ask the Lord where to move things and help us to continue preaching the Word of God and how we can all be challenged in different ways. You know, a lot of people you talk to today, you tell them that you have a Sunday night service. They believe that the Sunday night service is the same service as the morning service. And yet for 20 years this month, our church has been preaching three different messages. Sunday morning is one, Sunday night's a totally different message, and Wednesday night's a totally different message, because I believe that the Word of God is key to growth, and I believe that we got to continue in the Word of God in order to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I believe that that is more relevant today than ever before, because the Bible says when you see the day approaching, then you ought to meet more together, gather together, forsake not the assembly together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching, and so we want to continue to do all that God has already taught us to do and all that He honors. And He honors nothing in this world more than He does His Word. How many believe that? And so this morning we want to honor Him in His Word and want to do our best to ask Him to help us in rightly dividing it. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou." Do you see the change? So he talks of all this, and he says to Timothy now, "But continue thou. You, Timothy, continue in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." I want to ask you to take your attention and put it back on verse 14 just for a minute. And I want us to read this verse together out loud as a church family. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Ready? Begin. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the inerrant, inspired, preserved Word of God. I thank you, Father, that we have it today, that we can stand assuredly on its promises, and that we live in a country where we can, in freedom, proclaim it. And as is done today, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to receive it. I yield myself to you this morning afresh and new, and I ask that you'd help me, Lord, to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I could be filled with your Spirit, that you would use me for your glory. I pray that you would simply make me a vessel meet for the Master's use, that you would preach through me your message to us, your people, for your glory. And I pray that it, as we do so, Lord, I pray that you'd give us just a touch of your hand today. I pray that your Spirit would have liberty, that the Word of God would have free course. And I pray that every heart would be stirred to become more like Christ. For some, Lord, that means today they must be born again. And I pray today, if there's someone here that is not 100% sure if they died that they'd be in heaven, that today would be the day that they are saved by grace through faith alone. And I pray for all of us as Christians, Lord, whether we have faltered or remained faithful, that we would continue this year in doing all those things which we have been taught from the Word of God. And I pray again that you would be glorified. Bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. 1 and 2 Timothy were written by the Apostle Paul from a Roman prison as he was awaiting his death. The letters were written to a young man named Timothy, the pastor of the people at Ephesus, who was discouraged. Timothy was discouraged in many ways. He was discouraged because of the culture around him. He was discouraged because some people in his congregation. He was also discouraged because of his physical health. The entire emphasis on these letters, especially in this first one, was written by Paul then to encourage Timothy to continue for the Lord. He understood that within the framework of perylous times that were coming, that people needed a spiritual example to follow. It's not enough, someone said, to have spiritual leadership, leaders. It's not enough to follow spiritual leadership. But it is enough when we all should be becoming spiritual leaders. Paul had been that faithful example to Timothy and many others, and now his desire was that Timothy would be that example for the people of Ephesus. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." I don't have to remind anybody here this morning that the perilous times that Paul spoke of have only become more and more perilous today. If people were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God in Paul's day, then they love pleasure even more today. If people were covetous, if they were boasters, if they were proud or heady or high-minded, if they were incontinent and unthankful and despisers of that which is good in Paul's day, then now is even worse. How many would agree with that to say amen? It is in these times then, more than ever, that we need to continue for the Lord. Sadly, in such times, the norm for some Christians is to walk away from the faith in which they once held. In many cases, the generation following Christian parents no longer want to be a part of daddy's faith. And you know why? Because daddy failed, or because marriage failed, or because something in the church went awry. And so they look for some reason not to continue. And by the way, every church will have problems, and every home will have problems. And there are reasons that abound in every case as to why we would find not to continue. But may I say something to you this morning? I think that it's high time we find reasons why we should continue. And I think when we look into the Word of God and we ask God to say, "Lord, help me to continue. Show me from your Word what it is that I need to continue in." Christians need to see reasons why they should continue for the Lord rather than reasons they should quit. Timothy had people in his church that walked away from the Lord because they were offended. Others walked away because they loved the world and they loved the money more than Jesus. But Paul's admonition for Timothy to consider where he was when he was when he got saved. He wanted him to consider how he got saved, and then he wanted him to follow the example that had been given him so that others would do the same. You see, God is always trying to find somebody whose heart is perfect for the Lord. He's always trying to find somebody that he can show himself strong through, and Paul recognized that Timothy was that man. God knew that Paul was key to Timothy's salvation and that he was key into leading Timothy, and that if he could get Timothy's heart, there would be a church that would be helped. We find then that Timothy, though he had people and reasons to quit, that he found encouragement from Paul to continue. In 2018, it's not a year, may I say, to quit on God. 2018 is not a year to quit on reading His Word and trying to memorize it. 2018 is not a time to quit on the Holy Spirit of God leading your life. It is not a year to walk away from serving God. It's not a year to stop giving a gospel tract or in evangelism. It is a year to continue, and all of those things that we have been taught is right by the Word of God. I believe the Bible gives us at least three. In fact, I'm going to give you four inspiring reasons why we must continue for the Lord. And for some, a theme like continue may not seem all that impacting. But I will tell you that, you know what? God blesses faithfulness. He blesses somebody that each and every day would walk before Him in the fear of God. He blesses those people that will stay steadfast and unmovable and always abound in the work of the Lord. You know what we need to do? Continue abounding. There's so many Christians that are finding more reasons to be less and less involved. We need to be finding more and more reasons to be involved. We need to be looking for more opportunities to give the gospel, more opportunities to open the Word of God, and more reasons to continue for the Lord. And I think it's right. I think it's right to say, okay, give me some reasons why I should. Well, before you categorize all the reasons why you shouldn't continue, let me give you four reasons why you should. Number one, because there's a work that must be done. In verse 17, after God gives us that all Scripture is inspirational, or God breathed from God, it says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now we know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We celebrate Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 when we're not sleeping. We decide to say, hey, I know, I'm saved by grace through faith alone. It's not of myself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse tells us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And Paul here is saying, listen, Timothy, I want you to know you got saved not so that you could sit, soak, and sour. Son of my faith, don't be discouraged so that you can quit. There is a work that must be done, and that work is only going to be done as you continue in the Word of God. There's a work that must be done. First of all, there's a work within me that has to be done. That work began at salvation, but you know what? The Bible says that God, through His Word, effectually works in me, and then it tells me something that I'm supposed to do. I am supposed to work it out. Now, in the beginning of the year, all the gym memberships are getting sold. Why? Because people don't want to be the same shape that they are in. They want to be a different shape altogether. Amen? They want to lose weight. They want to grow big biceps. They want to have the more endurance. They want to have just more strength altogether. They want to lose weight. Some of them want to gain weight. All this kind of stuff happens. And they want to work out physically. What God says, what I want you to do is work out spiritually. The work that I'm doing in you, I want it to come out. By the way, that's a work. That means that God is working in me, and He wants me to work it out. Look at Philippians 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you see it? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Can we personalize that this morning and say it out loud together? Work out my own salvation. Let's just try it together. Ready? Begin. Work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Let's try it again. Ready? Work out my salvation. The remainder of that verse says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And therein lies the challenge, right? So you mean to tell me that my life after I got saved is not done? Right, you are. God says, I have just begun a good work in you, and I'm going to work it in you until the day Jesus Christ comes to get you. But your responsibility, look up here, is to work it out. You say, what's to work out? His desire and pleasure in you. Let me ask you a question. The first 7 days of 2018 are gone. We're going to stand before Christ and give an account for our stewardship of these 7 days. Let me ask you this. Were they for God's pleasure or for yours? Now, that's the living reality. Every day, I've got to reconcile this and say, now, Lord, Help me to work out your desire, your pleasure. In fact, the Bible uses this word, your will, and then I know that I'll be pleasing to you. All that God has in store for my life from the beginning to the end must be worked out. As I study God's word, his will for my life is revealed and begins to work in me. It is then my job to live it out by faith, is to walk being led by the Spirit of God and to be transformed. Now, let me ask you this. Are you continually growing spiritually? You remember when you were little and you learned all the cool Bible songs and you learned a few Bible verses and it was something of a novelty, maybe even if you got saved after you were grown up a little bit. And now all of a sudden, it's not that big of a deal anymore. Somehow, some way in your mind, you're convinced you don't need to sing Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I know that. Okay, well, if you know Jesus loves you, have you worked it out? What does Jesus loving you look like where you live? Because the Bible tells us that that's exactly what my responsibility is. I must continue in the things that I've learned because there's a work in me that still needs to be worked out. But not just a work in me, there's a work that is to be, this work then translates into the work that has to be done in God's house, in his church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, it talks about us growing till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Did you know that so many good churches die because too many good Christians are not continuing to grow? Consequently, the church becomes dull and lifeless, and the work of edification stops. The equipping is limited, the exhorting is minimal, and effectual prayer by the saints is never heard. Why? Because they've stopped working out. They've stopped growing. They have actually done what not even the Apostle Paul could do. They have apprehended already. They have obtained all that God has. They've learned all at all, and they've applied it all. And now all of a sudden, they don't have any problems in life. They have arrived, as they say. Did you know God desires that his people consider the work that needs to be done in them and through them? If it stops in me, listen, it stops in this church. If I stop growing, then to me, listen, this church stops growing. If it's become dull to me, then the place where the word of God is being preached is going to become dull. Is everybody okay? We have to continue. Why? Because there's a work that needs to be done. It needs to be done in you. It needs to be done in me. And it needs to be done in us collectively. Be steadfast, therefore, and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Christian life is work, but it's the best work. And God says, hey, you need to continue in the faith, first of all, because there's a work that needs to be done. Second of all, because there's a message that must be preached. Now, Timothy is already aware of this. Timothy, many believe, got saved on Paul's first missionary journey. And in verses 15 and 16, Paul says to Timothy, a preacher that's discouraged. People have left his church. People have decided to love money and get bitter. He's had people fighting and getting all in each other's face. And his health is bothering him, and he's discouraged. And in verse 15, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, Timothy, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Watch this. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, Paul focuses on the life-changing power of the truth of God's word and its illuminating discernment of every person's need in their soul. And so he makes that, he says, this is eternally profitable because it goes farther than just what you see on the outside. It goes to your very heart, as the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. So Paul says to Timothy, because that is true, I want you to understand how eternally profitable it is. Here's what it's profitable for. For doctrine, that's what's right. For reproof, that's what's not right. Then it says it's profitable for correction. That's how to get it right. And then righteousness, that's how to keep it right or how to stay right. Now, all of this is in this letter written to a discouraged Christian who, to be honest, could be contemplating quitting. God says, now here's what I want you to do. Don't quit, Timothy. I would say to you today, Timothy, don't quit. There's a work that needs to be done. God's not done working in you. He's not done working in me. He's not done working at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. But I want you to also know another reason, that there's a salvation. There's a message that needs to be preached. First and foremost, the message of the Bible is a salvation message. Listen, from the very beginning, as we begin to read God's word from the beginning, we pay homage to all that is right in the universe, starting with God. His ways are perfect and his word is sure. It's dependable and it's right. Then in just a few short pages, what happens? You read of what's not right. Sin comes into the world and it corrupts and it defiles all that God said was good. And the struggle begins. From that time until this time, God has been telling mankind what is right, what's not right, how to get it right by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He began in Genesis chapter 3, and there's a scarlet thread that runs all the way to the end of the Bible, saying what? Ye must be saved is the message of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. How? Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Another reason we must continue for the Lord is because people need to know that Jesus' death was enough to pay for their sin. That his resurrection was sure proof that Satan is defeated, and Jesus Christ is both Savior and Lord. Amen. Now, that message, we got to be careful and continue to preach. It must be a scriptural message. Now, let's just stop here for a moment and put the brakes on. We must make sure that every message about Jesus Christ and the Christian life remains scriptural. In other words, from God's word. Everything that is taught and proclaimed for the Christian life must be from God's definition of the Christian life. Is everybody in agreement with that? Okay. We must make sure. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now listen carefully. The world naturally does not want to hear what God has to say. So many of them will not listen to what the Bible has to say. By the way, there's some Christians like that. I don't want to know what the Bible has to say. I just don't know if I believe that. Well, there are a lot of problems with that statement, because the Bible is not only true, it's believable. Now, the world naturally, it's not going to listen to what the Bible has to say. But as Christians who have to live and work with those people, did you hear what I said? There's no man that seeketh after God. There's nobody that naturally comes that way. But as people who, and they don't want to hear the Bible, but as Christians who have to live with those people, who have to work with those people, we've got to continue to hear what God has to say so that we can stand for what's right, so that we can stand for what's not right, so that we can stand on how to get things right and how to keep them right. It's important. Why? Why should we continue? Because there are people that not only need to hear the message of salvation, watch this, they need to see it in you. You have to continue. Why? Because God wants you to help somebody else see that Jesus is enough. Now, let me just stop here for a minute. 7 days have gone by this year. Has Jesus been enough? Or is he not enough? Is his power not enough? Is his grace not enough? Well, you don't understand my situation. I certainly don't, but God does. And let me say this, on the authority of the Holy Word of God, he is enough. Jesus is enough. if we needed more, God would have sent more. But he sent what we needed, the Lamb of God. You know what our problem is? Sin. The good thing apart that is, the Lamb of God takes away all that sin. Now watch. God is the only person who has the perfect plan for marriage. If we stop preaching God's plan for marriage, there will be no God's plan for marriage. Is everybody with me? God's word teaches a perfect plan to raise children. God's word teaches a perfect plan for your economy, for your promotion, for government, for friendship and life and godliness. So we better continue to preach the message of the Bible. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You know why Christians quit? Because they have no hope. They've stopped believing the Bible. They've stopped believing that Jesus is enough, that grace is sufficient. They've stopped believing the things because they didn't continue in them. The first two reasons, there's a work that's got to be done, a message that must be preached. Thirdly, the passage tells me we must continue because there's a deceiver that's not going to quit. There's a deceiver that won't quit. Go back up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 4. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. You know, the Bible says that we have an enemy. He uses the word adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible then reveals to all of us the source of this fable, these lies. If you go back and you look at chapter 3 and you look at the first four verses, and then you look up at verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You have to understand that prevalent today through all academia, through all media, through all the government, in all of the world, there is a spirit of deception, and God's word reveals the source of that deception. You know what his name is? Satan. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe it not. The source of this spirit of deception is Satan. I must continue in the truth. I must continue preaching the truth. I must continue preaching salvation is by Jesus alone. Why? Because he's lying to people every day. People that you live with and work with and are related to are believing that they don't need Jesus, and they do. They're in a spirit of darkness and they're deceived. They have their religion, but they don't have a relationship. They are still dead indeed in their sins and enemy of God. And the only way they will know the truth is if they hear it and see it in us. God says, I want you to see, Timothy, that there is a spirit of deception, and it's going to come and it's going to get worse and worse. I want you to continue. I want you to preach the word. Be instant in season. Be instant out of season. Reprove them, rebuke them, and exhort the ones that will listen with all longsuffering and doctrine. This source that has propagated this spirit of deception has his own soldiers too. There are many people who have manifest themselves as supposed Christians, but such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Look, there are a lot of things that bear a name or the name of Christ that have nothing to do with Christianity. There are a lot of people who carry a book. They may even call it a Bible, but they don't believe in the God of that Bible. There are a lot of enemy agents that are willing, able, and fervent in spreading a lie. That's why we've got to continue to spread the truth. It's because there is a deceiving spirit, and it doesn't just stop at salvation. This deceiving spirit has permeated into every area of life. Because there is this spirit at work in the world stage, Christians are called to continue as the Lord's ambassadors. Would you turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 just for a moment? Philippians chapter 2, and I'm about ready to wrap this up. Comparatively speaking, I don't know that necessarily the church at Philippi was discouraged. Although I suppose if you were a little skeptic or maybe a little critical, you could say that because the word joy or rejoice is found some 10 times in that book, that maybe they were losing their joy. But I don't necessarily think that that was the case. Rather, I think Paul was trying to continue, help them to continue in the joy of their salvation and just trying to feed that fire a little bit. And yet to this church, in verse 14, it says, I want you to do all things without murmuring. Don't complain. Now, how many are smart enough to know that God would not have to say that to that church if there were no complainers? Okay? You got to think that way. Why is God saying this to the church? Because somebody in the church is complaining. And apparently it wasn't just a couple. It was prevalent enough for him just to address the church with it. But that's not the point. Right after that, he goes into some tremendous verses about why and the importance of their work. Notice what it says in verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know what he's saying? Continue thou. You have heard me, you've watched me, don't stop. Take the word of life and hold it forth. You know, there's a deceiver who will not stop propagating lies. He will not stop to continue to gather people who will believe a lie. Therefore, we must continue to preach the truth and help people to see that there is a way, that there is a truth, and there is a life, and that is in Jesus Christ alone. You want a reason to continue? There's a work that must be done. There's a message that must be preached. There is a work that must be done. There is a message that must be preached. There is a deceiver that won't quit. But by way of conclusion, can I say this for all of us? The reason that we ought to continue also for the Lord is because there's someone following you. Timothy was following Paul, and God brought people into Timothy's life who would be following him. The devil looks for anybody who has somebody following them to get that person to fall, because if he can get that person to fall, he can get everybody else around him to fall. The devil is a master sniper. He knows exactly what needs to be done. He knows how to foil you. For that reason alone, because of the people following you, the people who are looking at you that you don't think you're really making all that much of a difference with, is a reason to continue. Timothy followed first his mother and grandmother. In fact, this letter begins with that statement. You got saved because your mama and grandmama were faithful, and they didn't stop. By the way, they didn't stop even though his daddy, was not saved. She just kept going. Listen, whether you believe Jesus or not, I believe Jesus. Whether you're going to church or not, I'm going to church. Whether you read the Bible or not, I'm going to read the Bible. Why? Because I've got a little boy in that bedroom, and he needs to be saved. I don't want him to go to hell. I want him to serve God, and took him to a meeting and got saved where Paul was preaching, and then decided after following Mama, he'd follow Paul. Now Paul's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Timothy said, yes, sir. And now Timothy's quitting or almost quitting. And Paul's saying, Timothy, wake up. Remember where you got saved. Remember who you started following, and you continue in the faith. It's your turn now, son. You've got to take the faith, and you've got to go forward because someone is following in your footsteps. he followed Paul, then Timothy began to lead because there were people following him. And in that discouraged state, Paul wrote to him and said, Timothy, whatever you do, do not give up. You keep going. Continue in those things that you have both learned and seen in me, because now someone is following you. The things that thou hast heard of me. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy, you continue. You teach someone else to continue, because they're going to have someone else behind them that needs to continue. The Bible says, continuing after that, watch this. Thou therefore, if you're going to continue, endure hardness. It's hard. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it's a war. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. All of that is to say, Timothy, 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 don't be discouraged. You don't quit. Preach the word. Now, for you, it might be a coworker. They see you. They know. That guy doesn't do what we do. He doesn't go where we go. He doesn't talk like we talk. She's a little different when we approach her. Her language is different. She doesn't investigate into things like we do, and she doesn't go down that line of thinking. There's just something different about that individual. By the way, people ought to say those things about Christians. We are a peculiar people, a holy nation unto God. We're supposed to be different. Ah, amen, Pastor. I'll say it to myself. We're supposed to be different. Amen. We're not supposed to look, sound, dress, or go where they go. We ought to be different, and we ought to continue to be different. It ought to be a coat. For some of you, it's a coworker. For some of you, it's a spouse. For some of you, it's a neighbor. But for most of us, the feet following in our footsteps are little. It's a child. It's a grandbaby. And they're following you. They're looking at you. Now, let me ask you a question. In the first 7 days of 2018 that God has blessed you with, how are they doing? Because nearness is likeness. Paul walked with Jesus. And Timothy was walking with Jesus. But like all of us, he had a little discouragement. Had a little health problem. Had some people around him that started pulling the handles and ejecting and saying, I can't do this anymore, or I don't want this anymore. I'm offended at you, Timothy. I'm offended at this brother. I'm offended at that sister. I'm leaving. Okay, what about the rest of you? Will ye go away also, Jesus said? When we decide to be faithful, when we decided to continue, in John 6:66, the multitudes turned around and walked no more with him, and the disciples said, to whom will we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And what did they do? They continued. And because they did, Paul got saved. And because Paul did, Timothy got saved. And because Timothy did, and Christians for the last 2,000 years have got saved, you're sitting in this building this morning. Now, what happens if we quit? Do you know why Christianity is not the number one fastest growing religion in the world? Because Christians have failed to continue. Christians, 52% of them don't continue in their marriage anymore. They've decided, you know what? It's not right. It's not healthy. Why? It's not for me. It's not one man, one woman for one lifetime. I'm done with that. Even people that get remarried have a tendency. In fact, it goes to over 70% will say the same thing again. Why? Because they won't continue in that which is right. They won't decide to say, okay, that one failed, but I'm not going to stop this one. This one is it. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm here. I'm now. It's forever. Amen. There are children that walk away from the faith because mom and daddy have been living hypocrites, and they've not decided to continue in the thing. Look, there are people sitting in this room that used to have a mom and daddy that were Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and faithful, committed, convicted Christians. But they're not anymore. And it bears a scar on your walk with God. And yet, that's not a justification at the bar of God. I'll never be able to say, David, Jesus, say, well, if my daddy would have been faithful, I'd have been faithful. He said, no. What have you done with the truth I gave you? Did you continue? Because Your daddy's sin's not your sin. Your sin's your sin. Your failure is your failure. John R. Rice said, by the way, that failure is a prayer failure. Listen, if you really want to continue, pray that way. If you really want to continue, put your heart and face in the Word of God. That's the key, though. You cannot argue. This whole context is centered around one thing, God's living Word. And if I will take it for what it is, as God's Word, do you know, when I speak God's Word, it's God speaking. Not me. I'm just the voice. That's all I am. When I say, thus saith the Lord, it is God speaking. When you read the Word of God, it is God speaking to you. When you share it with your children or your spouse, it is God speaking through you to those people. The problem is, we don't act like it. Teachers don't cherish it and steward it like it is actually the Lord speaking. And people sitting in churches don't listen to it as if it is. But did you know if I don't know any of them, but if I said we were going to have whatever the leading rock star was going to come and he was going to give his testimony, or someone, some famous athlete would come, we would fill this place. Wouldn't we? We'd fill it. You know people. Oh, if so-and-so's going to be there, oh yeah, he's popular. I've seen every movie. They'd come just to hear him speak, even if it wasn't from God. But put a leather-lung preacher in a pulpit and open the Word of God, and all of a sudden there's a few seats that are empty. Why? Because it's not really about God. Because lives are not really about God. And yet God says, listen, it ought to be. People are following you. Who are they? Will you continue? Now, here's what you shouldn't pray. Well, I hope so. That's like saying, I hope I go to heaven, but I don't really know. No, no, you need to decide. You've got to reckon it to be so. How many reasons do you need to continue to do what's right for the Lord? I've given you four. How many do you really need? You know, really what I should have said is, folks, we have one reason. We have one reason. This is what I should have said. We could have been done a half hour ago. Someone's saying, I wish you'd have done that one instead. You know, we have one reason why we should continue for the Lord. Because Jesus did. That's enough. And yet beyond the cross, that's why he said, look, go back and see where you got saved. But Timothy, you never get saved if Jesus gives up. If God says, oh, you know what? I forgot there is another way. You don't have to drink this cup. No. If that happens, friend, we are dead indeed in our sin. And yet Jesus is still enough. He's enough for us to keep going. He's enough for us to continue. The question is, will you? Father in heaven, we do love you, and we confess to you today that you are good and always good, and your plan is perfect. We confess that your word is perfect, and we confess that your son is enough. The cross of Calvary is enough for us to keep going. And yet, God, in this passage of Scripture, you took this young, discouraged man of God, and you enveloped him with reasons why he should keep going, because they were needed. God, perhaps there's one or two in this room today that needed a few of these reasons why they should not quit. And God, for the failures of 2017, we confess them to you as sin. And as Christians, we humbly admit we don't want to repeat those sins. Lord, we want to continue in the things which we have learned, not the things that we've been tempted with, not the sin that we've committed, but the things that we've learned, the truth, and the way that we've learned them and from whom. Holy Spirit of God, would you work in us a spirit of steadfastness and help us to continue for the Lord? With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you haven't made any spiritual goals for 2018, would you consider making a few this morning, that you would continue in the things that God has taught you through his word? Would you consider saying, God, helping me, I want to continue in the faith. I want to continue in his word and make some tangible goals that will keep you in this pathway. I wonder this morning if there's someone here, I guess it's a given, but in order to continue down the path, you've actually got to be on the path. You may be here and you've never been saved and you know it in your heart. Maybe you were like me and you said a prayer and you kind of played the game and thought you were saved for so long, but in your soul, you know if you died that you're lost and you would not go to heaven and you need to be saved. God's prompting you right now with that truth, saying, you know, I'm talking to you. Maybe this morning you would begin and let God begin a work in you, beginning with salvation. Maybe you're just not sure. I really don't know, Pastor. If I died, I'd go to heaven, but I would like to know. In any case, if that's you this morning, could I pray for you? Nobody's looking around. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm one of those. I either don't know for sure, or I do know, in fact, that I'm lost and I've never been saved, but I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick? Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. Here's my hand. I'm lost. Maybe you'd just be bold enough to say this. Pastor, here's my hand. I'm lost, and I want God to save me. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick? Anybody like that? Anybody at all? A Christian. Maybe this last year you didn't do much continuing. Maybe in 52 weeks and 156 opportunities to be in the house of God, you could count up yourself that faithfulness would not be the word that you used concerning the stewardship of your attentiveness, attendance, your assurance, your stewardship. Maybe this year should be different. The only person that will make the difference that it will be different is you. Maybe today, you'd spend some time there in your seat, maybe here at this altar, and say, Lord, I want to be faithful. I want to be instant in season and out of season. I want to continue for your sake. Maybe that's your heart this morning. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, I have made or I am making today some spiritual goals in my life, and I want to continue for the Lord this year. Would you just pray for me when you pray here in a moment? If that's you, nobody looking around, would you just slip up your hand? I'd like to pray for you this morning. Anybody like that? All over the building. In a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have Brother Lee sing. If you need to come to this altar, if you need someone to pray with you, or if you need to come and just spend some time on your own, would you do that for the Lord? Would you just sanctify this year for the by the grace of God for His glory? Would you stand with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray now for every hand that was lifted. God, I believe sincere Christians make sincere decisions that lead to sincerely different lives. And I pray that every hand that was lifted, I believe their intention was pure, and I pray for them. I pray that you'd give them the grace and the courage to continue for the Lord. This year, I pray that with more of the grace and more yielding to the Spirit, that we as individuals, and Lord, even as a church collectively, that we would continue in the things which we have learned. God, we've learned a lot about faith. We've learned a lot about prayer, about the importance of the Word of God and the importance of the gospel, the importance of church unity, the importance of the church period, the importance of preaching, all of this, God, week after week after week, we've learned even the importance of wisdom, the importance of being conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, would you help us to continue? Help us to continue and be faithful in our marriages and to our children. And most importantly, I pray that we would continue to love you with all of our heart. By that alone, everything else in our life changes. Be pleased today in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name.